In each life, there comes a time when it is time. The critical questions are, do we recognize the moment, and are we prepared to act on it? Conversations with Muad'Dib by the Princess Irulan. The whisper of Caladan Seas called to her, and Lady Jessica knew it was finally time to go home. When she informed Gurney that she intended to leave Dune in a matter of days, he could not have agreed more heartily. That morning, she had informed Aaliyah of her departure, and though the regent encouraged her to stay longer, there was little sincerity in her voice. Jessica took the opportunity to extract a promise from her that Caladan would be permanently removed from the root of the pilgrimage and unsullied by angry veterans of the jihad. In that, at least, she took considerable satisfaction. Immediately after hearing her mother's announcement, Aaliyah departed on an unscheduled week-long desert retreat with her priests and military leaders. Matters of state are pressing. Goodbye, mother, she said, and then apologized for not being able to see her mother off from the Arakeen spaceport. Jessica knew that her daughter felt increasingly uncomfortable around her, and if she delayed returning to Caladan much longer, Aaliyah would view her as more and more of a rival or hindrance than a support. Best to leave Dune now before any real damage was done to their relationship. With Aaliyah away, Jessica had a period of relative calm to collect a few mementos of the Atreides, especially keepsakes of Paul and Chaney to take back to Caladan. Lady Jessica stood in her chamber with the familiar packing wardrobe open before her. Its sides bore the stickers and date stamps of transport authorities, showing the many planets and star systems she had visited since the time she first left Wallach 9 as a young woman to become the concubine of Duke Leto Atreides. Jessica had seen a great deal since then, had experienced supreme joy and profound tragedy. A calm feeling came over her. Caladan was her duke's world, her world, and she belonged there. My life is not over yet, she thought. There is still time for happiness. And she knew Tessia would be there, needing a safe haven. At her orders, the plaza windows in her quarters had remained opaqued following Bronzo's execution. She did not want to look out at the square ever again, because it reminded her too much of the savagery to which mobs could be driven. A few glow globes illuminated her apartment. The wardrobe's wide doors were open to reveal bars and shelves inside for clothing, drawers for jewelry and other small articles, and a honeycomb of hidden compartments. With a fingerprint scan, she opened a secure drawer that contained special sentimental items, and added an Atreides hawk insignia that the Harkonnens had cut from Duke Leto's uniform after his capture. Gurney had found it for her. Just then, Irulan entered wearing a long dress that glittered softly golden and pearl jewelry. Would this be a good time to talk, my lady? I've been expecting you. She knew Irulan would never have let her leave without a final conversation. The princess clutched an object in her hands, as if her fingers were reluctant to part with it, though she seemed to have made up her mind what to do. She released her grip to reveal a long string of colored beads, polished stones, and small metal rings. Considering the extravagant and breathtaking jewelry she had owned as the daughter of House Carino, this seemed a primitive necklace, a string of found objects that a magpie might have collected. This was... Her voice caught. She drew a breath, straightening her long, elegant neck, then began again. The Fremen gave me this immediately after my formal marriage of state to Paul. A bond strand, they called it. Even though they knew that Chaney was Paul's love, the Council of Naibes had to recognize my marriage as a legal thing. The Fremen understood that. I was offended at the time and almost discarded the necklace. but for some reason I kept it. Something in me hoped. She shook her head. Now that Paul is gone, I am giving it to you. She thrust her hands forward, offering the bond strand to Jessica. Take it. Place it with your other keepsakes of Paul. Jessica accepted the strand, running it through her fingertips as if trying to read messages there. Are you sure, Irulan? The princess gave a small nod, then nodded again with more vigor. This place is already infested with keepsakes and relics, many of them counterfeit. I want the bond strand to remain in your possession, with other objects that are real. I will indeed treasure this, Irulan. Thank you so much. The princess's eyes lost their luster for a moment. I need to say something to you. We haven't been the closest of friends in recent years, but you've shown that you trust me. I remember discussions we had in the gardens of my father's palace on Catane when I was just a young woman, before Paul was even born. I would like us to be good friends again. After you return to Caladan, I hope we can send messages to each other. To keep in touch. Jessica arched her eyebrows in a mixture of amusement and alarm. Haven't you had enough of conspiracies? A small smile. I do not propose a conspiracy, just an exchange of information. Few other people in the galaxy can understand the problems we face. And I admire your courage. Jessica sealed the secure drawer, closed part of the wardrobe. You have proven your courage, Irulan Carino. I know what you tried to do for Paul, and I know your loyalty to him. Your supreme strength of character in defying your father when you knew he was wrong. I defied Paul, too, when I was complicit in a conspiracy against him. I didn't jump into it wholeheartedly, but that is no excuse. Jessica's voice hardened. And for that, you must bear your own guilt. Still, Aaliyah is bound by what Paul would have wanted. She thinks she has you wrapped around her finger now. Irulan did not deny what Jessica had said. It's good that you are leaving now, my lady. You can see how the government is cracking down against even the most innocent dissent. And I am being watched. I sense it. With a nod, Jessica said a great deal, wordlessly. Both of them knew that in Arrakeen the Kizaret had already begun holding public trials of purported heretics. A mere accusation seemed to be sufficient evidence in itself, and virtually all of those charged were sentenced to death. Perhaps you should come with me until things settle down here, as my guest on Caladan. Irulan shook her head. And leave Leto and Ganema under Aaliyah's care? A life on Caladan sounds almost as pleasant as Catane, but this is my fate. What I was commanded to do. By House Atreides, by House Carino, and by Mordib. Jessica empathized, feeling her own duty toward Paul. Bronzo's writings had successfully tarnished Mordib's idealized image, at least among some historians, if not among the fanatics who had fought in the jihad. She had heard off-world emissaries, Lansrod representatives, and even Chome merchants asking questions, demanding explanations from Aaliyah, causing problems. In the short run, the youthful regent had tried to divert attention, reinvigorating several jihadi divisions and sending her armies out to purge populations where necessary. But without their charismatic leader, the Fremen-led forces did not have their old fervor, their enthusiasm for fighting and killing. Many of the soldiers wanted to return home to their old ways and families and armies had been gradually disbanding. As regent, the girl might not realize it yet, but her rule was in trouble. And what would be left to pass on to the twins? Yes, we have much in common, Jessica said. Contact me on Caladan whenever you wish. I'd like to hear about my grandchildren, of course. And about you as well. Irulan smiled and gave a slight bow. I shall look forward to it, my lady.